Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And welcome to a special Media Matters for Anfield Index. You'd like to think, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't you, that the Reds have not got a game for a few days, so it would be nice and quiet. However, FSG, Liverpool and Michael Edwards certainly had other ideas this morning. And here to join me to talk about the breaking news from today, all its implications, and to get his thoughts as ever, is the renowned and respected David Lynch. David, I promise we are not stalking you. The news just doesn't stop, basically, does it?
No. I mean, we spoke, didn't we, on the last pod? I think we said about it coming imminently, but I didn't think quite this imminently. I thought maybe this week. Thought they'd maybe give us a little bit of a rest till Friday, so we could get over the Manchester City game. But yeah, big news, and it does keep moving fast.
Yeah, nothing is slowing down. And there's so many things to digest, ladies and gents, which we'll get through. Appreciate some of you may have been at work or working still as you hear this, possibly in a break. So we'll try and keep it informative as well as getting David's insight at the same time. And I know that there's a great article you wrote for This Is Anfield, sort of giving your thoughts and sort of opinions and how it might go into the future as well. Probably as almost a quick summary, what would you sort of tell our listeners were the main things that have come today? Because there's a lot of noise and speculation, but what would you say are the key facts they should really be focusing on from today?
Yeah, so I think the main thing to take away is that the job title is CEO of football within FSG. So it's not a Liverpool role. It's very much working for Fenway Sports Group, overseeing, yes, Liverpool, but ultimately they want it to be a bigger role than that. So just to take the Liverpool stuff, it mentions in the statement that, you know, a big part of his responsibilities will be to oversee the appointment of a sporting director and then, of course, a manager. So a new football operations team. We expect that sporting director to be Richard Hughes now, who's left Bournemouth. He will be the man. And that's essentially confirmed now that that's going to happen. So we expect that appointment to happen. And then it's the chase for a manager, of course. Xabi Alonso is one of the names. Amorim's another one who's come up. And so that is a big part of his remit, is overseeing that restructure going into this summer, and a big one in the aftermath of Jurgen Klopp leaving. But another interesting element that was mentioned in the statement was this idea that you know, Edwards will oversee potential investment opportunities in other clubs, and FSG may be shipped into a multi-club model. And so that is going to be a big part of his role as well. And then, of course, overseeing, you know, when they do get a new club and he goes and finds that. And if that investment happens, then to implement everything he's done at Liverpool at another club as well and ensure that they're using data-led recruitment. So it's a massive role. It's what we kind of expected in terms of it's much above what he previously had at Liverpool. They've basically given him the keys to their entire football operation. So very much the challenge he was looking for. And yeah, I think good news to Liverpool in terms of, you know, getting someone who's a smart operator back. But there's obviously a lot to get into around it, which I'm sure we will do now.
I was going to say, because there is so much, especially, I mean, that statement is ginormous. And you led to some of it there about the various things that we will get into. Are you surprised at all that FSG essentially gave up so much in this negotiation from, as you alluded to, potentially taking Mike Gordon's role, the CEO of football operations? I mean, it's not just one step up, it's a huge jump up from a sporting director, isn't it? So are there any surprises there for you at all?
I think it's not surprising in that they've always rated Edwards and always known how good of an operator he is. So it's not a kind of shock from that aspect. And obviously they've still, I think what's quite surprising is that clearly, even though he left Liverpool, those relations have clearly remained good. You know, you never really know the inside track on exactly, you know that there was a little bit of conflict maybe between him and Jürgen. Again, not completely disastrous or anything like that, but you know that was there. But clearly FSG have sort of always had him in mind to maybe bring him back. And the fact he's turned down Chelsea and Manchester United is a really, I suppose fans will really embrace that. You know, in terms of what they conceded and given to him, I think, you know, they want to put smart people in place and they know how good he is. So, you know, they probably long had him in mind for this role. And I think, you know, you mentioned about Mike Gordon there. He's clearly been looking to step away for a while, hasn't he? Briefly did around the sale process and now, you know, he's come back since. But I think that was very much with this in mind, which is to get someone else in to basically do his job when the opportunity arose to do it. And so Edwards is clearly that guy. Now, it is a big step up, big challenge for him. But I think, you know, it speaks to how highly rated he is as a football executive that they're willing to do it. One thing that does kind of interest me around it, we touched on the multi-club element, is that he very much said in his own statement, didn't he, that was a key aspect of him wanting to come back.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't have taken the role unless that was part of it. And that kind of chimes actually and reminds me of a comment Billy Hogan made a while ago where he said that, you know, this wasn't really our priority at the moment, not something FSG are looking at. And you think, well, you know, if that's what it may, has Edwards forced that change of thought? Is that being a concession in this process where they've said, okay, we'll let you go and do that? That's an interesting one. Maybe one we'll find out immediately, but something that will come out later down the line, whether as part of negotiations, FSG held the hands up and said, okay, we can do this, we can go down this route, even though we initially didn't want to, or whether that was something they were always thinking of and they wanted him to take on that role. That's an interesting one to me.
Yeah, I've jumped to that one because exactly as you said, it wasn't a million years ago. It was August. Billy Hogan was at that conference in Miami where he said, you know, and he was asked about Chelsea and it's not really for us. So, yeah, I mean, it's that idea, isn't it, of has Edwards forced their hand or has this always been their plan? Is there any indications or is it just a blanket wall of silence? Because I'm guessing everyone's now going to be predicting or trying to guess which club, how, what element, that type of thing as well.
Yeah, it's all quiet at the moment, to be fair. I mean, I know things are moving quickly, but maybe not quick enough for us to find that out just yet. But yeah, it is an interesting sort of shift, isn't it? And I don't think, you know, I don't see any reason why FSG would have been quiet on that front about that being something they were exploring unless Edwards has maybe taken them down that route and convinced them that's the right way to go. You know, I could be wrong again. I'm just speculating on that front, to be fair. But, you know, it is interesting that they're going to go down that route. And in terms of who they're going to target and what clubs they're going to look at, that's going to start moving as we move forward into the next few months because it is a big part of Edwards' role. But I think short-term focus is the stuff we talked about, isn't it, in terms of you've got a lot on at Liverpool at the moment. So maybe the idea will be to get that out of the way, set everything up going into the summer, and then the other side of that, start moving to identify clubs, see where opportunities are and see how that looks.
Yeah, because to be fair, he has got a fair old list, especially in the short term, to sort before then, no two ways about it. I mean, it's a different role, but with him coming back in, will it help that he will know the key players like Hunter, Fallows, Spearman, quite, as reports suggest, had a big impact in appointing these people. So will that aid in his embedding everything he wants to?
I think it just makes his job easier in terms of what he has to do around Liverpool, which is basically, you know, his laser focus will absolutely be on getting that sporting director deal completely signed off and done and announced, and then moving on to the managerial stuff. So, you know, he doesn't have to worry about that backroom team. He knows that they work in a way that he likes. That's already in place. He put a lot of that there, didn't he? So I think he's in a really good position to not have too much to do around Liverpool, which is, again, when we go back to this multi-club model and all the work that's going to have to go into that. And that's the main attraction of the job to him anyway, rather than focusing on the bits and pieces and day-to-day at Liverpool. I think that he'll be quite pleased that that team is still in place pretty much, because he doesn't have to do too much tinkering, and he can almost look after itself, really. He can focus on the bigger picture stuff.
Yeah, because I did want to ask for a bigger picture. We've always known Michael Edwards leading in his field, but from Liverpool fans, we've known him as the sporting director and his list of the players recruited, like Alisson, Becker, Virgil van Dijk. You know, it's unbelievable. Is there any concern for you that we were never going to get him back in that role, but does it dilute it in any way that he is spread now across FSG? Is there any concern you think Liverpool fans should have on that we're not getting his expertise in that area, so to speak?
Well, I was never I never buy into the cult of these football executives anyway. I mean, I've no doubt whatsoever. I'm pretty sure you agree with me on this as well.
I
never sort of buy into that. And I think, you know, Liverpool's transfers, even without Edwards, have been very good. And with that backup team who are in there as well. So the structures are there for them to still be good at that, you know. And if Michael Edwards thinks Richard Hughes is a good operator as well, then I'm convinced his judgment will be good on that front as well. So I don't think it's a worry that he's not involved in the day to day stuff. And he wouldn't have come back to do that anyway. So, I don't think, you know, he gets credited a lot with the signings that were made, but, you know, you have to factor in that the whole team behind him are also part of that. And they're the people who are in place, that the data team, the scouts, all that work was going in. You know, he was just the man who puts it all together and presents it to the manager, and they work together to find a solution and do the negotiating. So, you know, absolutely key. Don't get me wrong. I'm not playing him down completely, but it's very much a team effort as well. And of course, the manager being good at turning these players into what they are, fitting them into his system. So, it's very much a team effort. So the idea that he's not, you know, day-to-day leading it, I don't think that's a problem or anything to worry about whatsoever. I think Liverpool will continue to be good at transfers, and this multi-club model could help them out actually on that front of things, if they get that signed off soon enough. So, yeah, it's not a concern to me.
Fair enough. And I did want to go into the multi-club model because I don't want to be hypocritical on this in a way, because I know I've spoken on pods before and said, multi-club, we've almost a little bit used it as a stick to beat City with, haven't we? The City Football Group, Chelsea, Strasbourg and all that. It could be seen as a positive, as in getting players the stepping stone to Liverpool. I totally understand that. Have you got any personal things where you're looking and thinking, especially around UEFA regulations and all these things we hear, where is it that clean cut for Liverpool? Is it a good look, shall we say?
Well, that was Billy Hogan's quote on it in August, wasn't it? But part of it, he said, we don't really know where UEFA and FIFA are going to go with this, what the legislation's going to look like, you know, what happens if, I mean, I'd be very interested to see what happens with Girona this season, if they, you know, to get in the Champions League and then Manchester City are there, how they sort of work through that conflict of interest, whether they can prove enough separation to UEFA for that not to be a problem. That's going to be a really interesting one. And so big decisions around that to be made by footballing authorities. So for FSG to suddenly go down this route before that, the dust has settled on all that, is a really interesting one, and a little bit of a concern from their point of view, and for Edwards himself, given it was the whole reason he's coming back. But I think, you know, from my personal standpoint, I'm not massively comfortable with it. I don't like it, really. You know, as you say, it wouldn't be right of us to criticise Chelsea and Manchester City for doing it and then think, oh, well, if Liverpool are doing it, it's okay. I mean, I absolutely see the benefits for Liverpool, and I know everyone will, if I was to tweet something like this, the responses would be, well, you can't afford to be left behind, or, you know, everybody else is doing it. And I get that. But my interests are not just Liverpool FC. It's kind of, you know, I like to see football in general be quite healthy, and the game itself to sustain it and keep it going, because we love it so much. So, you know, anything that goes against that is a worry for me. And you look at, okay, City Football Group is basically archetypal model, isn't it? It's absolutely perfect the way it works for them. Great, you know, but there are other elements there where you see it doesn't work quite so well. So you mentioned Chelsea and Strasbourg. Their fans are not happy about that at all. No. Strasbourg being owned and being basically a feeder club. They're a historic club in themselves, and it isn't fair that they should be a feeder club to Chelsea, who, by the way, were not that massive until they got bought by a Russian billionaire a few years ago. So, you know, it's just disordered how football is, and I don't like that element of it. And also, you look at 777 Partners, who are looking to buy Everton at the moment. So many horror stories around that. So, that's not all these multi-club models are perfect. And I don't expect, you know, with someone as savvy as Edwards at the head of it, I don't expect Liverpool to be 777 Partners. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But the whole thing, just on a personal basis, it doesn't make me entirely comfortable. And I'd be interested to see what the legislation from UEFA and FIFA around this is. I would like if you could really clamp down on it slightly, you know.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
If it's more a relationship like Brighton have got, say, with USG, or, you know, that is slightly less offensive to me than outright owning multiple clubs across Europe. Mm-hmm. But we don't know the details yet of what FSG are planning, what it would look like ultimately. But I'm happy to go on record saying that I don't absolutely love the multi-club model, and I would like to see some work done to clamp down on it by the football authorities.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. There's no two ways about it. I suppose in terms of FSG communications, we don't get them too often, do we? They're notoriously, as you said before, quiet, no comment type of guys. But there's a lot of question marks now, like you said, around the role exactly, multi-club model, what's going to happen going forward, who could it be? That, do you think we will get a bit more for them, or will it just be a wall of silence until it happens?
Oh, probably not. Yeah, I can't imagine so. They like Michael Edwards, don't they, because he's subtle and he keeps things quiet. He's very much of their sort of thinking around that. So I don't expect FSG to suddenly become more open about the decision making. I mean, the one thing is with this is they're not going to always be able to control the stories, because, for example, if they're looking at a club in the French league to buy or anything like that, things will come out from that side of things. Word will get out, so they won't always be able to control the messaging around that stuff. But it's I don't expect their sort of communications approach to change at all, and I'm sure they'll try and take a similar approach as they do in the transfer market, which is to go under the radar. And the first, you know, they would dream that the first thing you'd ever hear of this is once the deal is signed off and it's done. But it's going to be difficult for them to do that. But I very much that's going to still be the aim.
Would make sense. And I'm guessing I can already picture what his response is going to be. Do you think Jurgen Klopp will just be eyes rolled, not interested, don't ask me this type of thing in a press conference? Is that good? Because he's going to get put to him at some point, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah, but it's going to be kind of interesting what he says about Michael Edwards, because we know that element of conflict was there. I mean, I'm not making out that they were, you know, they hate each other or anything like that. Someone asking me about that on Twitter actually earlier. I don't think it was anything like that. You know, you do get clashes in professional environments. It's absolutely normal. But it'd be interesting to see what he thinks about it all. It's just on that personal basis in terms of, you know, what he thinks about this is the way Liverpool are going about replacing him. It's clear as well, isn't it, that as soon as he's going and Edwards comes back, that like obviously that didn't quite work towards the end and wasn't perfect or whatever. So that's really interesting. And we know that there was elements of Jurgen Klopp getting more and more power in terms of his impact on recruitment policy at Liverpool as his reign has gone on, really. So yeah, it's an interesting one from that perspective. And I will, I'd be fascinated to see what he says about it.
Yeah, and because the filter seems to have gone from Jurgen a bit as we come towards the end, maybe. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what he does say. And there was a few questions, naturally, I'm almost jumping the gun from next week, but they're coming in thick and fast around what's happening. And you probably guess most of them focus around Liverpool, because I know there's the FSG talk, but then it comes to players, managers, the hot topics, which is understandable, what fans want to know about on the field matters and players. Edwards, and again, as I'm asking you this, I always wonder about this reputation. He has a reputation for he doesn't offer big contracts to people over a certain age, doesn't he? Or, you know, restrictions, things like that about release clauses, all sorts of stories as things come out. Do you think him coming back does have any impact on potential negotiations for the likes of Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah, i.e. top players, but of a certain age at all?
I think it definitely has an impact in terms of, it's been clear, hasn't it, for a while that Liverpool have been putting off any contract negotiations around these key players on the basis that wait until the new structure's in place, then we'll move from there. That's been clear that that's happening. In terms of age profile, I mean, you know, I don't think he's completely dogmatic in terms of he won't bend on anything. Or, you know, for example, you could have said that the Salah contract that they gave last time was, would Michael Edwards have given that? But I think very much so, because they could have seen the value, and he's absolutely proven value for that, by the way, in the years since, you know, and whereas that would have initially been considered maybe a controversial contract, but, you know, he's absolutely proven right on that one. So I think I think they're going to very much are driven by the numbers and that, but they're not completely wedded to the idea. It's, for example, it's not like Van Dijk is suddenly, they clearly will know he's not going to suddenly become useless next year. He plays in a position where pace is absolutely massive. He's very good. You know, he's very good in terms of not necessarily needing, he's still quick actually for starters.
Yeah.
He's still quite quick. So he physically is in the shape to keep going for a while. But even if he starts to lose his pace over the next couple of years, which will happen eventually, I still think they see that there's enough there in terms of his intelligence, general influence on the game to be worth a new contract, for example. So it all goes in and gets worked out. It's not, you know, it's not just a rash decision of, okay, he's past 29, game over. What the demands of certain positions, leadership within the squad, it's all part of it. I don't think he's as sort of nailed on in terms of getting rid of old players as people perhaps think. I think, you know, it's in the past been decisions that have been proven correct in terms of who's left at the right time. So, it's going to have an impact in terms of the over, because there's going to be a new sporting director there, going to be a new manager who's got plans for X, Y, and Z. But in terms of, I don't think we could argue now or say now confidently that, oh, well, Salah's never going to get a new deal. You know, maybe they can see the numbers in terms of his physical numbers and see there's no decline there. See that there's maybe a value in another 2 or 3 year contract. We'll have to see. But it's an interesting one because, you know, that's probably going to fall more to Richard Hughes to decide rather than Michael Edwards. So, you know, maybe he will approach things in a slightly different way. We'll have to see.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, like say, that relationship from Edwards down to Hughes and naturally down to the manager side, the head coach, because it was sort of the final question I wanted to ask, because quite a few have asked about this. Do you think he will have a say, Michael Edwards, in the manager hunt specifically? And again, it's people speculate, and it is important to have this discussion. I've seen quite a few suggestions that he could well lean towards someone like Amorim, who's got that experience, worked within this type of structure before, as opposed to Alonso. Do you think there's any weight to that argument and that he could have an impact or a say in this?
I think he's definitely going to have a say, because I think CEO of football, appointing a football manager, is such a big and important role that I just can't see him just leaving that to the sporting director and it being a job where he says, oh, well, the sporting director's head of Liverpool, I leave it to him. It's just too big a decision, and I really do think he's going to have an impact in how that's done. But equally, so will, you know, the likes of Will Spearman will have a say in that decision in terms of we'll be able to provide the arguments for and against certain managers. So I think it's going to be a collaborative decision, that one, because it's a big one that Michael Edwards will definitely be involved in. And I have seen that line a few times now about the idea that he would favor Amorim. I'm not entirely sure what that's based on, to be honest. Alonso's working in a structure that works in that way, isn't he? Leverkusen, in terms of sporting director over him, plays a really sort of, you know, a perfect sort of modern type of football in a similar way, has overachieved relative to his budget in the same way that Amorim has done. I think Amorim has obviously got a few more seasons behind him in terms of doing it in that league. But I think, you know, the work Alonso's done is so outstanding that there's just no chance he's not going to be in the running. And it sort of devalues Alonso to almost an emotional appointment based on the idea that because he used to be at Liverpool, but he's so much more than that. Take out the fact he played for Liverpool completely. He is surely at the moment the outstanding young manager in European football. No, they haven't lost a game this season. It's insane that they're battering Bayern, who spend so much more money than them. I think Leverkusen have got like the fourth best highest wage bill in the Bundesliga. So it's not just overachieving relative to Bayern, it's everybody else as well. So, the idea that Amorim somehow stands out more in the numbers, maybe only on the basis that there's a slight bigger sample size there to judge him on. But I think Alonso is very much in that group. And I'm sure that they'll probably have numbers on what his Real Sociedad B team were like, by the way.
Yeah.
So we'll have that in terms of giving him a good idea of whether he's the right appointment or not. So I don't buy into that idea that Amorim's the front runner now. I think Alonso very much is the number one target. And then maybe if they can't get him, if Bayern get involved or Real Madrid maybe, or maybe he wants another year at Bayer Leverkusen, and then Amorim maybe comes into the frame. Well, that's my read on it at the moment, definitely.
Which makes complete sense. And I kind of lied saying that was the final question because I've just got one more. But timeline-wise on this, we know that Edwards is coming in. It's from the 1st of June it starts. Obviously, we've had the announcement today. Richard Hughes were expecting to be around the same time. That does feel like a formality. The manager element, because it does seem like if we're talking Amorim or Alonso, they are in roles at the moment. They've naturally got their own focuses at the top of their leagues. Do you think that is going to be like right till the end of the season before we hear out of anything? Almost out of respect to Jurgen Klopp as well. Do you think that could run really tight towards the summer?
Yeah, the manager stuff, I think, particularly because, as I say, I think Alonso is going to be the main target and he's got a lot on his plate in terms of getting Leverkusen over the line. I doubt he would have appreciated, by the way, the stories that came out about Bayern Munich making contact. Yeah. That clearly came from the Bayern side, by the way. And I thought, communications-wise, just a really stupid move, to be honest, because it just makes you look like you're trying to unsettle him. It's not a good look from Bayern side, I thought. And I thought they were unwise to put that out there. And also it's proven that it's clearly not true that Bayern are in any sort of advanced talks with them. You know, Liverpool very much in the mix. So, you know, I wouldn't take that sort of reporting very seriously at all. And I think Liverpool, you know, that June 1st starting date for Michael Edwards, I wouldn't be massively surprised if you know, he's doing a little bit before then, to be honest. You know, there's a lot to be sorted this summer. So I'm not sure he's just going to walk in through the doors for the first time and do his induction on June 1st. I'm sure there'll be a little bit before that because there is so much to do. And I think, you know, with the Alonso thing, they want to be respectful. They don't want to, you know, be seen to be disruptive in any way. But I think they will have to make moves before the very end of the season. I think you know, that's going to have to be, and that contact will be there. So I think we're going to see maybe an announcement around Richard Hughes. We'll be waiting until after the summer to hear that or after the season's finished rather. And then obviously when we know obviously that Michael Edwards has been confirmed as well. But I think the work that's going into what needs to happen this summer is probably going to be going on before then, because Liverpool, they can't afford, for example, for Bayern to massively steal a march on them in terms of convincing Alonso that that's where he wants to go. And for me, to be honest, I think Liverpool have got a better selling point anyway. And I think if they approach this in the right way, then I think they'll get it over the line. Just my opinion, by the way.
Yeah, indeed. And it's natural because everyone's grasping onto everything today, aren't they? And listen, the news comes thick and fast, people. There's four trophies to go for. There's executives, there's CEOs, there's managers to appoint, and it will rumble on and on. So, in a good way, I know you'll take this in a good spirit. Hopefully, we don't have to speak again until next Monday, because just a few days of quiet and football will be good, David, wouldn't it, in all honesty?
Yeah, I've got too much on at the moment, so I could do, yeah, I've got a press conference tomorrow, then match on Thursday, and then a press conference on Friday, and a match on Sunday. So if you could just stop putting news out, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be good for a quiet day. But until then, all it leaves me to say is, as ever, thanks for the insight. Thanks for making time. It is greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Good stuff. And ladies and gents, that was another Media Matters special for Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.